The Sefer Yalkut LeKachtayv asks an interesting question about the story of the Meraglim. It says that when Moshe sends out the Meraglim, he davens for Yehoshua that he should be saved from the Atzas HaMeraglim, from the Eitzah, from the thoughts and the plans and the plots of the Meraglim. The question is, there were two, out of the Meraglim, there were two who didn't sin, Kalev and Yehoshua. So why did Moshe only daven for Yehoshua? A different question, we see that Kalev davens by himself in Chevron. When they get to Eretz Yisrael, it says Vaya'alu b'Negev. They go up through the Negev, through the southern part of Eretz Yisrael. Vaya'voi ad Chevron, and he came to Chevron. And Rashi says they all came up to the Negev, but only one person goes to Chevron in singular form. Who is that one person? This is Kalev, because he is going to daven. Chevron, of course, is the burial place of our Avos and Imahos, and Kalev goes to daven, and he's going to get rewarded for it, because at the end of it all, Hashem is going to say, Va'avdi Kalev, but my servant Kalev, Ekev Haisa Ruach Acheres Imoy, because he had a different spirit, meaning he had a different route, he had a different plot. Kalev is going to get rewarded when all the other Meraglim, except for Yeshua, are going to die. Kalev will not. The whole Dar is not going into Eretz Yisrael, but Kalev and Yeshua will. Va'avdi Kalev. So here's another question. Why didn't Yehoshua join Kalev in his tefillah? So again, two questions. Why didn't Moshe daven for Kalev and only for Yehoshua? And why did only Kalev daven by Maros HaMachpelah? And why didn't Yehoshua join him in his tefillah? The Chofetz Chaim answers, and he says that when a person wants to avoid getting influenced by others, there are two paths that stand before him. There's two possibilities of what he can do. One is to go out in active war against the people that you are fighting against and to protest their skewed messages. The second way is the opposite. You don't fight at all. You even make yourself seem as if you agree with them so that they think you agree with them, and in this way they'll leave you alone and you won't get influenced. Each of these paths has a positive side and a negative side. We'll start with the first path, the path of active war. On the positive side, the one who is fighting avoids falling into the trap of actually starting to believe what they are saying, because he's always passionately fighting against them. But together with this, it also carries a risk, because those who are against him can get together against him, and they could actually harm him physically or financially, meaning it's dangerous. The second way could be better, because they think that he is with them, so there's no actual physical danger like somebody who's going out in active war. Another advantage to taking the second path, as we'll see happens, is that when the group gets together to announce their opinion in front of other people, they'll allow him to speak as well, because they'll think that he's on my side, that he's on our side, and that will give him a good opportunity at that point, and only at that point, to reveal himself and to reprove his friends in front of everybody else. However, there's also always a danger here, and that is by his being quiet and pretending to be on their side, it may actually happen. He may actually start to come too close to them and to start to believe in the things that they are saying. Moshe Rabbeinu knew very well the personal characteristics of Yeshua and Kalev, and therefore he knew that each of them was going to take a different track. He knew that Yeshua was going to be like the first one, who was going to actively fight against the other spies, and therefore he had to daven to Hashem. Please save him from the ideas of the Meraglim, that they shouldn't all stand up against him and hurt him. Save him, protect him. And he knew that Kalev was more like the other type of person, and therefore he didn't need the special bracha for protection. When the Meraglim get to Chevron, they see the giants, and they all start to get scared. And they immediately decided that they're going to slander the land. They are going to speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to convince the Jews not to go. And when Kalev sees this, he decided, due to the way his personality worked, that he was going to make it as if he agreed with them, so that when they all got back to Bnei Yisrael, he would be able to foil their plans. However, he also had this fear that because of his continued silence, he would ultimately be influenced by them. And therefore he decided that he needed to go and daven in Chevron, so that the Schus Avos was going to stand up for him. He understood that although he would not be in physical danger, he may very well be in spiritual danger, and therefore he goes and he davens in Chevron. Rav Mishkovsky adds an interesting point, which is that Yehoshua, who is in physical danger, could be helped by someone else's tefillah. Whereas Kalev, who is in spiritual danger, had to daven for himself. And he says that we learn from here that when a person is in physical danger, the tefillahs of other people work for him. But a person who's in spiritual danger should daven for himself. It has to come from inside of him. I'm going to add, it doesn't mean that if a person sees somebody else faltering that the tefillahs don't work. And sometimes the only thing we can do is to daven for someone that we feel is having a difficult time spiritually. But we see a distinct difference between physical and spiritual danger, and that in physical danger, really somebody else could daven for you. But when a person feels themselves faltering, it's a good idea for them to daven on their own. And we see the way the story actually played out, that when the Meraglim did go back, they announced their words that we have seen what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, and we're all in agreement, except for Yeshua. He doesn't agree. But everybody else, all the rest of us, we're all in agreement, and therefore we don't have to listen to the Das Yachid. We don't have to listen to the one person. Everybody else agrees that this is a dangerous plan, and we can't go into Eretz Yisrael, and it's a terrible idea. We're all going to die. And that's when Kalev got up. And when he got up, he took advantage of his position amongst the other spies, and he indeed was able to make everyone quiet. The way that the Medrash explains it, it says, Vayahas Kalev, he made them all quiet, El Moshe, to listen to what he had to say about Moshe. And what he said was, V'chi zu bilvad asalanu Moshe, is this the only thing that Moshe did for us, and or to us? And they thought that what he was going to do is this the only thing that Moshe did? Is this the only thing that Ben Amram did? And they thought that he was going to say all kinds of other negative things about Moshe Rabbeinu. And then when he continued to speak, he spoke positively about Moshe Rabbeinu and positively about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he said, this Moshe who took us out of Mitzrayim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu who saved us from everything, obviously they'll be able to save us from Eretz Yisrael too. And therefore, the words that we started with, that it says, Haysa Ruach Acheres, that Kalev had a Ruach Acheres, as Rashi translated, he was Echad Bapev, Echad Balev. He spoke differently than he really felt. To the spies, he said, I'm with you, but in his heart, he had a different thought, and his thought was that he was standing up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're left with just one question. When a person is facing a hostile crowd, and he really doesn't believe in what the crowd is doing, and he really wants to do things differently, which is the better way to go? Is the route, Yeshua's route, a better route to take, meaning actively go out and fight against them? Or is Kalev's route a better way to take? Be passive, listen, pretend that you're on their side until the moment comes when you can actually use your influence to get everybody to be quiet and to then listen to you. And the answer is, in the words of the Tosefta, that sometimes it says Yeshua v'Kalev, and sometimes it says Kalev v'Yeshua, to teach us that both of them were equal. It doesn't mean that they were equally great, meaning that this Tosefta, where it says that Yeshua and Kalev were equal, we know that it can't mean that they were equally great, because obviously Yeshua is going to become the next leader, which tells us that there was something superior about Yeshua. So what does it mean when it says that they were equal? And according, again, to the Sefer Yalkut Lakachtoiv, what it's trying to tell us is that the pathways are equal. That means that a person has to know what his personality is. And neither route is, they both have pros and cons to them, but the neither way is intrinsically better than the other way. A person has to judge their personality and also judge the situation and make a decision of how he's going to be able to best reach his goal of being Mekadesh Shem Shemaim and of doing the right thing despite what the rest of the crowd might be doing.